welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. Great to have you back at the Southwestern University Soundstage Studios.
Well, it is always wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me up here to tape some episodes up here on campus.
Love it.
You know, we're on campus. We're sort of, it's a very vibrant feeling place. You know, classrooms are full and students are walking around and they're engaging and everybody's talking. And I'm wondering, just to sort of let your imagination fly for a little bit, what do you think is not being taught on your campus and campuses everywhere at all different school levels of formal education? Are there topics or courses that are not being taught that you think should be taught? You know, if you were going to kind of wipe the slate clean of what we normally think of as I'm going to school, so I've got to learn X,
oh my
Y,
goodness.
Z.
I see. If I were to redo everything.
If you were to redo everything, not necessarily throwing the baby out with the bathwater completely, but leaving a few drops in if you want to. But how would you sort of build from the ground up school curriculum?
I would throw away a lot, by the way.
What would you throw away?
Well, I would throw away conceptually how all of it is being thought about and how all of it's being offered. Well, if you start the very beginning of one's journey, you have a teacher who will engage with you on a variety of different areas. So you'll learn math from that teacher. Well, at the very early stages, you're learning basically basic number sense and some arithmetic. You don't learn math until algebra. But you're learning some basic number stuff. You're learning some basic reading stuff. And you're learning some basic communication skills and how to articulate ideas and how to engage with other human beings. So being in a social dynamic setting, part of a community. And then what happens? The subjects begin to segregate. And then you have several teachers. You have your math teacher, your social studies teacher, your language arts teacher, your science teacher, and so forth. And then the disciplines completely become divorced from each other. And instead of having a holistic experience, you are now being driven by curricula that is traditionally set by a state, and now everyone's moving lock, stock, and barrel through the curricula, heading toward standardized exams in many, many states, certainly here in Texas, and that's the goal. Well, that should not be the goal of education. In fact, I mean, I'm not going to recap every single episode that we've ever taped together, but I mean, in every single episode, I'm always talking about what the true goal of one's formal education is, which is to create these practices of thinking, of creating, of living, connecting ideas, and so forth. That is something that should be front and center in all of one's education. The codependency of human thought is completely lacking in one's formal education, starting at a very early age, around fourth or fifth grade. And then it gets worse. We are not teaching, first of all, what it means to be a learned person. And we are not teaching modes of thinking that people can practice as an ongoing, recurring thing. And I'll say one last thing and I'll shut up. I'm sorry, I'm going on. I would also shrink the amount of content. Now, I'm just going to talk about math since that's the only area in which I have some modest expertise. We teach individuals, young people, things in math, and then we do it so ineffectively that we do it again and again and again. So algebra is a great example. Middle school math 1, middle school math 2, algebra 1, algebra 2 in high school. Then you get to college, you take college algebra, which somehow sounds so different, but it's really the same thing with a college in front of the word. That's 5 years of repeating the same material again and again and again. I would rather we cut back on content. I'm not saying throw the content away. We're not throwing the baby away. But we are throwing away an enormous amount of volume of content and inject these practices of how to think and make meaning of mathematics or make meaning of other disciplines to really go deep, not just superficially, I can bubble in, you know, choice B on a standardized exam, but I can really make meaning of this idea, this notion, and then the next year go deeper in something else. Over time, they would go much further and they'd go much deeper in their knowledge and in their ability to understand. But more importantly, we would be incorporating in these practices of how to think, how to create, how to connect ideas together in ways that will stay with them long after they forget the quadratic formula. That would be how I'd rewrite all of education. There you go. That was
all
actually,
right, well,
I did that in five
well
minutes.
Done.
That's amazing, actually. I just fixed the world's problems. So now let's do it.
Well, I was actually expecting an answer that was more.
Oh, no. Sorry.
No, this is good. That was more content-based of, well, you know, we don't really need to teach this then. We should do it here.
There's a basic axiom in the world of formal education, which I acknowledge publicly, but most academicians will not.
What is that?
And that is that we will forget almost all of the content that we encounter and we are forced to memorize or ingest. We will forget it immediately. In math, they forget it often before the exam. That's how profoundly problematic it is in mathematics, right? That's why people are failing math, is because they just don't even get it to begin with. But even if you get it for the exam, you will let it go and listen to the way people will talk. Oh, thank goodness, I've gotten all my math out of the way. I can just forget it. And they do. We have talked about the point of education, which is to be really impactful and to be life-changing and life-enriching. Well, if you're going to forget all the content and all that you're being exposed to through formal education is content, then you're going to forget everything. Once your last standardized exam is behind you, once you've circled in your last D with a number 2 pencil, then you have nothing to show for your education except a piece of paper or a transcript. I'm interested in having the person flourish and become a different human being, not changing their DNA, making them someone they're not, but allowing them to become their best self. And that does not happen by circling and coloring in choice D with a number 2 pencil.
So I'm going to guess that, you know, if you spoke to a room full of students, teachers, and education administrators and said, here's my idea for changing the education world, the students would go, yeah, that sounds great. I don't like memorizing this stuff. I'm not getting anything out of it. But man, if you can make it like you're describing, that would be awesome. My guess is that teachers would think it's awesome too, but may be nervous because next to them are the administrators who have to be accountable to somebody for actual results.
I think that you would get mixed results from both populations. There's a third population with young people, by the way, which are the parents. But you'd get mixed reactions because this requires some unlearning if you're really going to do this. Now, if you do it from the very beginning, then everyone will be on board. But if you take a current student today and offer this to them, a number of students will say, wait a minute, that sounds way too out there. I'm just going to school because I want to get a diploma to get a starting job and a starting salary. That's why a lot of people go to school. So they actually do not like the idea that you're going to change me. I don't want to be changed. Just what do I need to know for the test? I mean, this is a question you get not on this campus, thank goodness, but on other campuses. Is it going to be on the test? That's their number one question. It's not, is this going to change my life? Is this going to make me think deeper? Is this going to make me understand myself or the world deeper? No. Do I have to know this for a test or not? That's the most popular question at most schools. So the students will push back a little bit on this unless they unlearn this kind of habit of what education is. The instructors, I think, will be concerned because, well, I'm a math professor. Are you telling me I can't teach all the math that I should be teaching? And how dare you? And of course, I would never say this publicly to my faculty for that very reason. They'd say, well, how dare you tell me that I can't teach all of this subject or that subject? And I empathize with that reaction. And probably I felt that way at one time as well, because when I was so interested in math and everyone needs to learn math and love it as much as I do. But when I've spent some time thinking about thinking and thinking about learning, I realized that since the content is going to essentially go away for most of our students, how do we offer impactful learning? But I think it would be controversial if you just kind of bring a group of educators together and suggest that I'm going to cut your curriculum to 2/3 of what you normally teach. You know, that 1/3, that's going to smart.
So I have a confession.
Please.
I probably don't remember the content of every puzzler that we've ever done, but I think I have retained some of the reasoning and thinking skills that I've employed to solve some of the previous puzzles.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, in full disclosure, because this is not, we're not pretending here. The reason why Jennifer is launching our puzzle this way is because I confessed before we went on the air, I confessed that I believe that maybe at some part in of our distant past, I asked a puzzler similar to this one, and you're trying to gently cover the tracks, but we have to be, this is reality radio here.
Reality radio. I mean, it may sound familiar to me, but go ahead and lay it out there and we'll...
It's a little different, but yeah. I think that we had something similar.
Okay.
Here we go. It's a very short, cute one.
Okay.
So you're at an unmarked intersection.
Mm-hmm.
There's two ways to go. And one way leads you to the city of lies.
Mm-hmm.
The other one leads you to the city of truth.
Okay.
Also known as Southwestern University. Okay, now citizens of the city of lies, they always lie.
Mm-hmm.
Citizens of the city of truth always tell the truth.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's a citizen of one of these cities, but you don't know which, of course,
right,
at this intersection.
Okay.
The question is, what question could you ask them to find the way to the city of truth?
So you want to go to the city of truth.
And you only have one question to ask this person.
Question.
They're from one of these cities, but you don't know which one.
Uh-huh.
And you're only allowed one question. And the question is, what would you ask them? That, Jennifer Staton, is the math puzzler for today.
Okay. And you want to go to the city of truth.
And you want to go to the city of truth, and you're only allowed one question to this person who will give you one answer, but you don't know if the person's going to be lying or telling the truth.
Okay. I like this one. It's got some similarities, but it's a different permutation.
Look at you with permutation. Look at you knowing that.
So I'm
Well, you have a week.
Yeah.
You have to do it right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't give it away.
No,
people want to
I
think
won't.
About it.
No.
Let's get back to the program. Come on.
Let's get back to the program.
Come on. We're talking about thinking and learning.
We are talking about thinking and
learning. And here you are thinking.
I'm also mesmerized by the beautiful diagram that I have drawn.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Oh, yes. We're going
where's
lies
your
here,
four?
Truth here. Here's the intersection. And
oh,
there's the person at the intersection.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we've been talking about sort of wiping the traditional academic slate clean and starting over with sort of a new curriculum, which in our discussion, it turns out is not so much content-based, but process-based. Are we ever going to be headed in that direction? I mean, do you think this is something that even if it's sort of a piecemeal transformation. I mean, is this something that you ever could envision happening in education?
First of all, you're absolutely right. You put it very well. Process-based versus content-based. Not to say that you shouldn't be doing both. Obviously, there should be a combination. I mean, there needs to be content that we teach. But the process has to be kind of front and center with that content and not take a back seat or not be there at all. I think that there are people that are finding this kind of approach to a definition of formal education appealing. And I think that we're seeing some movement, certainly in the notions of inquiry-based learning, flipped classrooms. That active learning is a place where you're developing these practices of process. But really, it's a fundamental cultural question about how we value education and how we define it. Education right now is not well defined. If you asked 40 people around this country what formal education means, not even education, formal education, and what are the goals, the outcomes, you will get 40 different responses, although I'd say most of them will be pointing in the basic direction of getting a diploma and getting a job. That should be a consequence of a life-enriching experience. Being able to flourish and become one's best will allow one to get the best job and the best starting salary and so forth. But more importantly, the metric of starting job and starting salary is the wrong metric, no matter how you define education. It should be what happens after that. It should be what is the trajectory of your life and your career. And in some sense, you should be measuring the final job and the final salary. And that's a measure of were you able to truly grow into all that you're capable of. It doesn't happen when you start. It all is about where you end, or at least how you're moving. And until we acknowledge that as part of, if not the fundamental tenet of one's formal education, then we're not going to move.
Well, Ed, thank you for helping us move and helping us keep our brains sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu, and you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.